our daughter's husband's brother. Sounds like he's close to passing away. He's been sick for a very long time, lived in the world, but came to know Jesus. And I had the awesome privilege and opportunity here a while back, 2 years ago, leading him to the Lord. He wanted to be baptized. And so I went up to baptize him, but, you know, I had a long talk. I said, I got to talk with you first, Tim. And we have to understand what baptism is, and we have to know that you are in a relationship with God. Anyway, we had a nice long talk. I got to lead him into salvation prayer because he couldn't get around very well. We used a jacuzzi tub in the bathroom, filled it up, and we baptized him right there. He lives up in Graham. We don't get up there too often, but we have some good conversations when we do. And reads his Bible, and he's trusting the Lord, but his respiratory status has just gone downhill. Last time I was up there, you know, we talked about his demise and God's will and what kind, because he wanted me to do his service when he passes. And I remember one of the last things he told me, he says, I don't want no service in no funeral home. He says, I want to be in a happy place, because I'm going to be in a happy place. So, amen. We can all just hope that we'll be in that same happy place one day. Amen. So, anyway, I was telling Brother Wayne just before the service tonight, I says, Wayne, I says, if I ever stop getting nervous before I preach, I'm going to think something's wrong. And he says, well, you know, there's some responsibility there. And I quite agree with that, you know. And I got to thinking, you know, with all my years in the fire service, 22 years as a paramedic and with people's lives in my hands and leading the crews of fire chief and assistant chief for the last 16 years, a lot of responsibility. But there's no responsibility greater, I think, than sharing the Word of God with His people. I am blessed and privileged to be able to do that. So, Father God, we just come before You tonight letting You know that we don't have it all, Lord, but we want it all. Lord, we want more of You and less of us. And Lord, I just pray and thank You for the privilege of sharing, breaking the bread of life with Your people tonight. I just pray for clarity of speech, clarity of thought. And Lord, as Your word says, Your word will go out and never return void. So I know that. But I ask for Your anointing here tonight, Lord, for Your holy presence to be with each and every one of us tonight. Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Keith has been preaching lately. I had a couple sermons on denying dealing with self. You've probably heard them, maybe even picked up a copy of the CDs in the back. And some of those I remembered was he spoke a couple times on denying self. And how many know we all need to do more of that, amen? Then he preached a message on coming completely out. And it had to do with the Israelites coming completely out of Egypt. But every time they got into trouble, they wished they were back in Egypt. They had one foot in Egypt and one foot heading for the promised land, and that just wasn't going to work out because they couldn't collect on those promises that God had for them working in that status, having one foot in the kingdom and one foot back. So they were compromising. So how many could agree with me tonight that the biggest thing I believe that Christians, even myself, have to deal with on a daily basis is self? Yeah. Amen? Boy, I don't like dealing with myself many times. And even before Pastor Keith asked me to share tonight, I had been reading and taking some notes on a similar subject. And so tonight I want to bring you a message that I've titled, Taking Up Your Cross. I believe that, you know, God has been trying to tell us something through Pastor Keith's messages lately. They've been very powerful. And I believe that he has something here for us tonight, too, in this message, because it's not my message. It's his message to you. So we're first going to read some scriptures that I have. But while we're reading those, and during the course of this message, I want you to think about a question I have. What does it mean to you, the words spoken by Jesus Christ, take up your cross and follow me? You know, what does that mean? It means a lot of things to different people, a lot of the wrong things. The first message scripture we're going to read is found in Matthew 16, verses 24 and 25. It said, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Mark 8:34 and 35. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said unto them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. And again in Luke 9:23 and 24. If anyone desires to come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. I'm sure that many of you can relate to this when I say, as I was growing up in my parents' house, I had a lot of trouble when I didn't listen to their instructions the first time they said it. And I found myself wishing that I had many times. And even after that, when I was off on my own, and then Paula and I met, I had to learn that all over again. Amen. Brother Phil, I think he knows what I mean. Sometimes it's hard, to listen to what's said the first time and take heed to it. We think that's self that's taking over. But here we have three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that are all saying the same thing, repeating the same thing. And I've learned something else in my Christian life, that when God repeats something in His Word, it must be really important. And it must be something that we should be listening to and heeding to. I asked you to think about what those words meant to you, take up your cross and follow me. But I think first we had to talk about what they do not mean. And unfortunately, too many people, as a matter of fact, believe that we are supposed to carry burdens around, that we have a cross to carry like Jesus did, full of burdens in this life. And if you were in men's ministry, you know I like to deal with props once in a while, but so here we are. People interpret that scripture to mean that we're supposed to carry around sickness and despair, carry around broken relationships, bad marriages, carry around poverty, carry around depression, carry around all these things. But that's not true. That's not what he meant when he told us to take up our cross, is it? He did not create us for that purpose, to carry all that weight on our shoulders. He created us to rule and to reign, didn't he? To reign over these things. And he created us to love him, just as he loved us when he did the cross. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Does that sound like something God wants us to carry around? He said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Doesn't sound like any burdens I want to carry around. Amen? So if that is what Jesus did not mean when he said those words, what exactly did he mean when he said for us as his disciples and his disciples then, when he said, "Deny yourselves, take up your cross and follow me"? So we talked about what he didn't mean. We've been talking about the cross, and let's continue talking about the cross for a second. In the days of Jesus, the cross was a symbol of suffering and death, wasn't it? Anybody that had a cross to bear in those days bore them with physical pain and death. You know, when someone thought of a cross in those days, you thought that you were going to be carrying that cross up to Golgotha. You were going to be very badly beaten, whipped, and mocked and scorned, just like Jesus was. And your end result was going to be death. When they had a cross to bear, they knew what their future was going to be. And that future was pain first and eventually death. To a person back then, the cross meant one thing and one thing only, and it wasn't a good message. It was an end for their existence. You know, Romans were masters of slavery, masters of persecution, weren't they? Remember, they fed Christians to the lions. What a terrible way to go. They forced criminals to carry a heavy cross to their crucifixion place. And during that travel of them carrying that cross, I'm sure that they were tormented, they were ridiculed. You know, I can see crowds lining the streets, just like somebody would go to a football game and mocking them and scorning them. And they would carry their cross up, their own tool of crucifixion, to die there. You know, when Jesus carried his cross to Golgotha, I don't think there was anybody that was really thinking that, well, this is just his burden. You know, just as people interpret these, you know, they say, well, my sickness and my disease, that's just my cross to bear. My poverty, well, that's just the hand I was dealt, so I have to live with it. My nagging and complaining wife is my cross to bear, but I just have to put up with it. No, I say, no, you don't. He didn't create us for that purpose. Like I said earlier, He created us to reign and rule over those burdens and to carry a cross like he did. The cross of Christ is the cross we want to carry, and we'll be talking more about that. The cross that meant death back then, and it was a symbol of death, like I said, but the cross today, the symbol that we see on a cross, means much, much more to us. I wrote down some statements here that you may have heard from other Christians, and I just mentioned a couple of them. And I know I've heard them from Christians, but, well, you know, my sickness and disease, it's just my cross to bear. We mentioned that. There's always, you know, too much month left at the end of my money. I'm broke. I'm in despair. I can't make the rent payment. I can't make a car payment. That's what was dealt for me. That's what I got to live with. No, it's not what we have to live with. We don't have to carry sickness. We don't have to carry disease. We don't have to carry all the burdens that we do carry. He gave us the power over sickness and disease, didn't He? He gave us the power over poverty. Troubled marriages no longer have to be a problem for us. Rebellious children, we can fix those through the cross. Depression, that's not of God, is it? Broken relationships are mended through the cross. This, my people, is the cross of Christ. This is the cross that He's talking about taking up and carrying each and every day. My yoke is easy and my burden is light, He says. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So I ask you, you know, which cross would you choose tonight of those two? I ask you also, think to yourself, which one were you carrying in here tonight when you came? And if you were carrying in the one that we previously showed, I hope that you carry a completely different one out. He tells us that we must deny ourselves. So what exactly does that mean? You know, it doesn't mean that we deny our neighbor when he needs a helping hand. It doesn't mean that we deny our family and friends when they're struggling with something and they need a few dollars or they just need some yard work or whatever it is. We don't deny ourselves. We don't deny them for that. You know, denying ourselves requires us to give up anything that would come between us and the will of God that He has for us. That's what we have to deny. And that can be a lot of things in our life, can't it? It means we deny our wants, our own personal wants, our own personal desires, and we place in place of those the will of Jesus Christ and the power that He gave us over those things that we want and desire. You know, there's lots of things I used to want and desire, and God took that away and replaced it with many other more useful things that I really do need. He gives us the desires of our heart, doesn't He? But He also knows what we need, knows what we want, and those we have to trust Him for that. Jesus said to take up our cross and follow him. He bore a cross, didn't he? He bore a cross as an instrument of death. And it was a total sacrifice. His blood was shed on Calvary's cross. What did he say? He said, "Not my will, Father, but yours." And that's the same attitude that we have to have each and every day. When one of these burdens starts popping up, or one of these wants and passions and desires starts popping up in our mind, the first thing that should replace it is, "Not my will, Dad, but yours. Show me the way. Show me what I really need and what you really want of me." So the cross he wants us to carry and to take up is not one of physical death, is it? No. But it is one of sacrifice, just like he sacrificed for us. And it's and we need to have that same attitude like he did. He denied himself for the will of his Father. The cross he wants us to carry is one that says, "Life on our own terms is over." That's pretty powerful, isn't it? You know, the thing that used to scare me was thinking about death, you know, and no more existence till I found Jesus Christ. But that's powerful. Life on our own terms is over. You know, it's even powerful for Christians. It gets scary at times. You think, wow, you know? But that's the way he wants us to live. We're not going to die on that cross, but we will die for what it represents, won't we? When we die to self. Taking up your cross refers to giving your whole life, not part of your life, your whole life to God. Just the way he gave his life for us. The cross he wants us to take up, the one to carry, is the one with the same burden that he had, the same compassion that he had, the same desires that he had. You know, I use this a lot, but it's used so many times in the scriptures. Say when Jesus walked into a city or a town and he saw the people, the first thing Scripture said, and he had compassion on them because he knew the way they were living. He knew the sin that they were living in. He had compassion on them for that, and he went about healing and preaching the gospel, didn't he? Think that's what he wants us to do? I do. Yes. But in order to do all that, we have to deny ourselves. We have to die to ourselves. Pastor Keith has spoke many times on that and really tried to nail it into our heads. And we need something we need to really listen to. You know, when other people see the way that we live, the way that we talk, and the way that we act, we are wanting them to see the cross through us. And that's right, you know. People, especially non-Christians, intentionally watch Christians, don't they? To see how they walk, see how they act, if they're really doing what they say, what they're preaching. I think I might have shared this at men's breakfast one time, but there was a story about a pastor who got on a transit bus, and he gave the transit driver some money for the ride. The transit driver gave him some change, and the pastor went back and sat in his seat. And he looked at his change and realized that the transit driver had given him way too much change. So when it came to his stop, He walked up before he got off to the bus driver and said, "Sir, I'm sorry, but you gave me too much change. I'm a pastor, and I really can't do this. I can't take this." And the bus driver turned at him and said, "I know you are a pastor, and I was at your service last Sunday for the first time, and I wanted to see if I wanted to return or not." There's people out there watching, listening the way we want. We want them to see the cross through us the way we see it. And Jesus was a living demonstration of God, wasn't he? And we need to be the same way. We need to be setting the example in our everyday life. You know, when God wants us to be doers of his word, doesn't he? And if we're not being doers of his word, how can we be the example that he wants us to be? I wrote, if we're not being doers of his word, we are, I wrote, compromising. Right? Talked about the Israelites earlier having one foot still in Egypt and one foot heading towards the promised land. That doesn't work. It reminded me, it's kind of a far out story, but one of my mission trips to Ecuador. We worked all week and we had Saturday off, and the local missionary took us on a tour. Right there in Ecuador where we were at was the equator. And there was a tourist stop that actually had a big long yellow line across the whole thing, and that was the actual equator. And you know, so what? You know, no big deal. Yeah, there's the equator. Yep. Hey, I'm on this side of the equator. No, I'm on this side. But their tour guide showed us a couple things. The first thing they did was they had a tub, like a small laundry tub, with a stopper, and they put it on this side of the equator, and they dumped a pail of water in it and pulled the plug. And lo and behold, when the water went down, it went clockwise. So they put the plug back in. They put the tub on this side of the line and put more water in, pulled the plug, and lo and behold, it went counterclockwise. So then they put the plug back in, poured some more water in, put it straddling the line. Two legs on one side, two legs on the other. Pulled the plug, water went straight down. You see what difference straddling a line can do. They had another one where you stand on one side of the line and hold your hands like this, and their tour guide was a little female gal, probably weighed 110 pounds soaking wet. And she says, "Okay, let me try to pull your arms out straight." Yeah, well, she'd pull and tug, and she couldn't. And so she says, "Now, stand on this side of the line." Stood on this side of the line, and lo and behold, whoop, she could pull. Yeah. You know, strange things happen when you're straddling the line, especially if you're straddling the kingdom of God's line. Amen? So, we're not being doers of the word. You know, I really believe that we're cheating ourselves. We're cheating our family, our friends, and most of all, we're cheating God out of all the blessings that we could get by doing his word. So it's important for us to not only hear the word, to read the word, but to be doers of the word, in order to be that example that he needs us to be. So, you know, if we truly want to be disciples of Jesus, then we have to make a choice. Do we continue to pack around or carry around those burdens that we think maybe he wants us to carry around? Or do we carry the cross of Christ? We have to deny ourselves and say a big no always to the way we want life to go. No longer on our terms, but his. Amen? A true disciple of Jesus Christ gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Pastor Keith has said that many times. What a true statement. We get back a lot more than we ever give when we serve our Lord and Savior. Amen? So, are we going to be able to serve God as a living demonstration if we're straddling the line, if we're not being doing the Word, if we're compromising in our daily walk with Him? No. No, we can't. How can we expect others to see Christ in us if we are not following our own example? I had said this a couple weeks ago in our morning Bible study here on Sunday. I forget what we were talking about, but I had read this somewhere and jotted it down in my iPad. And it says, we can teach others what we know, but we reproduce what we are. How true. There's another very true statement. You know, we can have all the Bible knowledge in the world. We can be a Bible scholar, have 4 years in Bible school, and know the Bible forward and backwards. But if we aren't being the example, what are we going to reproduce? We're going to reproduce just what we are. So by denying ourselves and choosing the cross of Christ instead of the cross of the world is where we begin. And the one scripture we read from the gospel told us, how often do we do that? Daily. Not on our own terms whenever we feel that it needs to be done. Not just because it sounds like a good thing that particular day, but daily. Daily we take up that cross of Christ with the love and the compassion, the grace, the mercy, all those great things that he has for us. You know, compared to many other countries that I have visited on my mission trips, the United States has by far the most technology, the most advanced this, the most advanced that from anything in the world, I believe. You know, with all the technology and the advancements, I don't think we're any better off than we were in the days of Noah. I'll tell you why. Let's read Noah's comment in Genesis 6:5 says this, if I can find it. It said, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. See, in Noah's day, the character of sin in those days was sexual lust and violence. So I'm thinking, how much have we really changed today? You know, we may have all these iPhones and all this great technology and send people to the moon and rovers to Mars and stuff, but the world is still being run by immorality, pornography, sexual lust, and a lot of violence, isn't it? The world needs world changers like us. It needs us who will carry the cross of Christ wherever we go. You know, because humanity just has not changed that much. No, I'm sure each and every one of us here tonight and everybody that goes to this church and other Christians would like to see revival right here in Shelton, Washington, wouldn't we? But I'm here to tell you that revival is possible. Amen? Possible as long as we let God be God. As long as we let God be God and we don't keep him in a box. That's what I love so much about our church is that, you know, just like Siwa, church without walls. All the churches need to tear down the walls that they have. Not the physical walls of the church, but the walls they have between them and the people out there. There's just too much of that going on. You know, look at our church, small in comparison to some of these mega churches. But how many of those churches are going out and feeding the homeless? How many are doing open crusades in the park during the summer? How many are going out and doing all the nursing home stuff? You know, I love this church for what they're doing, and I'm sure God does too. And, you know, and I've told, Pastor asked me once, you know, about the church and growing, and I told him, I said, Pastor, we're being faithful. And as we continue to be faithful with what God has given us, he'll send that youth pastor. He'll send this that you need in this church and that you need in the church. And he has. Look at, we've raised up a youth group here and discipleship classes. And so if we just continue to be faithful to him, he will be faithful to us, won't he? Amen. Yeah, because I think that, also believe that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are some of the biggest secrets, not only here in Shelton, Washington, but most of the world. And there's so much running rampant that is against God. It's just amazing. You can't walk down the streets without hearing people cussing, people fighting. Some of the bigger cities, all you hear is gunfire most of the day and evening. The violence. Can't watch TV anymore without seeing the violence and the sexual immorality that's being broadcast and distributed. Need to be distributing more and more of the word of Jesus Christ. Right now, we as Christians, believers, have to believe God for more than this generation has seen so far. We have to believe and we have to work at raising up this next generation. When we believe that this next generation can make changes in this world, they can only do that by us working with them. That's why I've always said it's important for the men to work as they are tonight downstairs with this next generation. They're the ones that's going to be leading this church. They're the ones that are going to be leading this community. It could be one of them that leads that last person in prayer before God returns himself. It's time we begin to lift the name of Jesus everywhere we go. Amen. It's time we take up our crosses, the cross of Christ, the cross of love, the cross of compassion, grace, mercy, and forgiveness. The Apostle Paul had a burden. In Romans 10, verse 1, it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they may be saved." So I ask you tonight, where is your passion? Where is your burden? Are they in the right place? Are they for God? Are they for seeing people saved? Are they for seeing this world changed in some small way? Now I ask you again, which cross did you carry in here tonight? And which cross are you going to leave with? I have a short little PowerPoint that actually I found years ago and had it saved in my computer. And when God gave me this message, I remembered it. And it's kind of good. It shows the cross and the burden. Go ahead when you're ready. Hit play. It should go up top, find the PowerPoint. It can probably make it bigger. Go over to there we go. Okay, there's some people carrying their crosses, you know. They're just winging along. Go ahead, Bruce. This guy, the other ones, if you looked really close, you'd see smiles on their faces. This guy's kind of frowning. Go ahead, Bruce. And now he says, "Lord, it's too heavy. Please cut it down a little." Which cross is he carrying, huh? Go ahead. Next one, Bruce. So now he's got a smile on his face. The cross is a little lighter. He's moving along. Next. And so, you see, he was lagging behind, but now he's caught up with everybody, and he's whistling and going along. And pretty quick, "Lord, please cut it down a little more. I'll be able to carry it better." Go ahead, Bruce. So, whittles a little more off. "Lord, thank you so much." Now he's happy. Carrying them burdens around, Lord made his cross a little lighter. Go ahead, Bruce. Yeah, now he's out in front of everybody. You can see the tunes up in front. Man, he's really whistling, and he's so happy to be carrying that cross now. That's lighter for him. Uh-oh. What happened? Go ahead, Bruce. Everybody else gets there with their crosses. The crosses of Christ, the cross of love, compassion, and all the things that they need to reach the kingdom, to go across the trials and the tribulations and through the waters and over the valleys. And here he is. Fell a little short, didn't he? Because the cross was before him. Because he wasn't carrying the right cross. The cross of Christ is the one we need to carry. Remember that each and every day. So, I was about finished with that, but I'd just like to say, you know, if you have a burden here tonight, a burden you've been carrying around, one that's been keeping you from doing the will of God. Maybe more than one, I don't know. I think we all came in here with some kind of burden tonight. I preach this to myself as much as I preached it to all of you. So if that's you tonight, feel free to come up here when we're done. Give it to the Lord. I'm here to pray with you. I'm sure Brother Wayne, anybody else? But we need to remember when we leave these four walls tonight, once again, that we are the example. We are the ones that are going to help others see the cross through us and the right cross. Too many people interpret taking up your cross as to carrying those burdens around everywhere we go and not doing the will of God.